Welcome back to the Renaissance Podcast, Ray. Episode 122, Leonardo da Vinci part... Who the fuck knows?
Right.
Who cares? It's Leonardo da Vinci. He can take all the time he wants, quite frankly. He's LDV. Yeah. Baby, you know me. I'm down with the LDV.
That's right.
How are you, Ray, this fine day of May 2021?
Good and bad. Good because I get to talk to you. Bad because, and I don't mean it as the way it sounds, but Heather and the kids are about to be out of school. They will be home full time. That's going to be a tough nut to crack, or I'm going to have my nuts cracked. Either way, it's going to be a challenge adjusting to having people around and telling me what to do. How are you?
Oh, I'm better than I thought I was, apparently. As I told you last week, I went to see my doctor. My doctor said that I was, like, nearly dead.
Yes.
I was about to have a, I was a walking heart attack. Said, get your affairs in order.
Wife, said, the kid, really, the mistress.
I don't have any affairs to get in order, but...
I wish thanks. I did, but I'll go get some.
Went to see my cardiologist, and I say my cardiologist because I bought him on eBay.
Right.
Hadn't seen him for 8 years, and I walked in and he said, how are you? And I said, well, I thought I was great until I saw my doctor. Right. And he said... Yeah, your calcium score's gone up. I said, yeah. And he said, you exercise? I said, yeah. He said, do you get any pain in your heart when you exercise? I said, no. He said, any shortness of breath? I said, no. He said, oh, you're probably fine. Get out of here. You'll be fine. He George Costanza'd me. You'll be fine. Don't worry about it. You're overreacting. Don't be ridiculous. Get out of here.
You're embarrassing me. You're embarrassing yourself.
And then,
I do have to ask. Go ahead.
Sorry. Then he spent the next 10 minutes. He said to me, what do you do? And I said, mostly podcasts, write a couple of books, make a film too, you know, whatever.
Right.
He said, what are the podcasts about? I said, history, mostly. A bit of investing, mostly history. He said, I wrote a book. I wrote a history book. I said, really? He goes, yeah. And then he's tapping on his computer, and I think he's working on my file. Turns it around; it's his Amazon page. He goes, "Look at this! This is my book. It's about, you know, it's based on the reminiscences. It's historical fiction. It's my grandmother when she came over to Australia from Greece, or before she came over. There's war and Smyrna with the Turks, and it's her story. And blah 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 blah. He spends the next 10 minutes talking to me, pitching me, on his history book.
You should buy it.
And then he goes, "All right, get out of here. I'll see you in a month. We'll do some stress testing. $265 bill." You know, which I know for Americans is not, you know, that's probably surprisingly low. You'd expect another couple of zeros on the end of that.
Yes.
But for Australia, that's a lot of money. So I was like, really? You spent 2/3 of that pitching me on your history book.
Win-win.
And I paid for the privilege. Yeah. But anyway, so apparently I'm not as bad as I thought I was. Yeah.
Friend to friend. Okay. I would get another opinion. He was way too relaxed for my taste.
You'll be fine.
Take it. A little too relaxed for me.
You're being ridiculous. Now that's what you want. You want a relaxed cardiologist. And he's fat too.
Oh,
he's
I feel even better now.
Yeah.
Cheryl, give me a new co-host. He's gonna die soon.
He's a fat guy. I don't want to be rude, but he's a hefty gentleman.
Hefty gentleman. Yes. Girth. There's a lot
Here's
of
the thing,
girth.
Though.
Right.
He's still alive, so he must know what he's doing.
He's doing it right.
He's like, just eat it. He did tell me, get yourself on a Mediterranean diet, drink more red wine, you know. I said, okay. Anyway, enough of that. Leonardo da Vinci.
Yes.
Yeah, when Leonardo da Vinci finally got a job in the court of Ludovico Sforza, a.k.a. Il Moro, it wasn't as a painter or a sculptor or an architect or an engineer. What was it, Ray? What was his job?
There's two ways of...
Lover.
There was what? What? I missed that.
Lover. He was just a lover. That was his job.
He put on pageants. It turns out that he was quite good at it. He did it in Florence. He loved the spectacles, and Milan was no different. And so, for all his engineering talents, the painting, everything else, it's putting on and producing pageants that gets him in the door. But let's be honest, you got to start somewhere. It just happens to be something that he's very good at, and he does himself love it very much. So, win-win, maybe?
Because he was fabulous. I'm Leonardo. Let's put on a show, boys. Girls.
No girls. No girls. You go away. Shoo, 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 shoo. Ew.
Yeah. Ew. Little known fact, Leonardo liked to dress in drag. Yes. Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, was originally called Leonardo, Queen of Milan. That was the original version of it. He loved big eyelashes, tight-fitting dresses. Right. Yeah. This is what gay guys do. You know, if you just give them some money.
Right.
You know, what people don't realize is when, you know, he got Sforza's attention, Ludovico said, well, Leonardo, what would you like to do in my court? We need the statues, we need the paintings, we needed the architecture, we needed the military engineering. What would you like to do? And he was like, honey, let me tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to put some fabulous costumes on. We're going to put on a show, honey. We're going to, it's going to be fabulous.
Broadway to you.
Broadway. I see music, I see lights, I see dancing. Jazz hands. Leonardo's greatest invention, jazz hands.
But if you think about it, I mean, this is going to involve stage, designs, costumes, scenery, music, mechanisms, choreography, allegorical illusions. I mean, this is his wheelhouse. He's got this stuff, gadgets, and of course, my favorite, casting. But that's not the point. The point is, he is a one-stop shop. Not only can I do this, sir, I can practically can do everything. I can even perform it if you want me to. But the point is, this is something that's needed. He wants to do it. He likes to do it. And like you said, he gets his foot in the court door, and that's what counts.
What is a pageant, Ray?
Pageant? I don't know. Is that a combination of words or music and scenes and acting and lines? I don't know. That's my guess. I have no idea.
I looked it up. The modern definition, anyway, is a public entertainment consisting of a procession of people in elaborate, colorful costumes or an outdoor performance of a historical scene.
Okay. Well, but the point is they didn't have internet. They didn't have TikTok or anything else. This, besides stooping each other, this is their main entertainment. And the court has to put on fabulous shows to keep the people happy and distracted.
Yeah, now look, we get it, right? Yeah. I've had to reinvent myself 1,000 times. You know, I was a banker in my 20s. Then I went and was a video producer, and then a debt collector at some point around there. Right. And then I worked for Microsoft, as the internet guy, and then launched the podcast network. And then I started a marketing agency, and then I ran a cigar store.
Nice.
And then I did history podcasts with you. Right. And now I do an investing podcast and run investing workshops. And I've made a movie, wrote some books. You gotta go where the money is. And in my case, you got to go where there's no money over and over and over again. But
you were like 10 for 10 on that. But anyway, go ahead.
You gotta have fun. Leonardo gets bored easily.
Yes, he's gotta move on.
You know. Yeah. You got to do stuff. You got one life. You got to do it all. Everything, everywhere. Right. Like Gary Arndt's podcast. That's, you know, Leonardo's
everything.
You know it. You know it from your time as a gigolo to wealthy woman in the 80s.
Yep.
Or under the bridge doing Neil Suck Crack these days. you have to do what you have to do to make the Benjamins. Do.
Yes.
Or,
yes.
As in we call them in Australia, the Melbas.
The Melbas. Okay.
Yeah.
I only
got $1.
Do you
know why we call them the Melbas? Do you know why we call them the Melbas?
No, tell me why.
After Dame Nellie Melba, who was on our $100 bill.
Oh, I didn't earn.
Do you know who Dame?
No, what did she do? Is she a terrorist?
No, I've often said we should have Ned Kelly on our notes. That would be perfect. And Chopper Reed.
What did she do?
She was a world-famous opera singer in the early 20th century, sung with Caruso, born in Melbourne, got married in Brisbane, ended up going to England and Europe and getting famous, big in America, very famous in America. You can listen to some of her recordings. They're a bit scratchy, but you can listen to them on the Spotify.
Spotify.
If you want Dame Nellie Melba. And we don't call our money the Melbas, by the way. I don't know why that hasn't taken off. But,
oh, it will after this. I could write that down. Yeah. Cheryl.
Yeah, the Melbas.
It will. Yeah.
Give me some Melbas. Got to get the Melbas. Yeah.
Right. Let me ask you this real quick. When you read this part of Leo's life, were you thinking, what? You're fucking wasting your time. You're wasting your talent. You could be doing all these things. How many more notebooks would we have if you had done these things? But
no, because I know he was chasing the cock, right?
He was he was loving it.
Look, I understand. Right. We've both been there. Not necessarily chasing cock per se, but you know, chasing.
We caught some. Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Look, yes, I mean there is a quote. I was reading his notebooks, and there is one quote. I didn't write it down, but he said something like. If you're gonna spend your time and energy doing something, do something that will outlast you. Something that will outlast your lifetime, that you'll be remembered for, that will survive your short time.
Yeah,
but you know, and he did a little bit of that, obviously. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we don't have much from this period of his life that has survived. A few sketches, a few reports, but.
Yeah.
We don't have any HDR footage of these things that he put on, but you know the man's got to earn a living, which he did, he's got to get laid. Right. You can't fault him for that. Unfortunately, we don't get anything out of this though,
right?
Apart from just the thought of him in drag, blowing guys, but backstage.
Nothing's changed. Anyway, but I can imagine some of the listeners now going, Leo, instead of doing all this pageantry shit, how about you sit your ass down and finish the Adoration of the Magi or St. Jerome, for God's sakes? Do something like that, but that's not how he worked. And again, this is not his downtime. This is not his dark time. He loved this shit, and it pushed him to new heights. So maybe not exactly, it might not have been exactly the plan as he was going towards Milan, but... It's something that he likes to do and he's good at, and he's going to be noticed by the big dog. Again, win-win.
And I don't think this was on his CV. Remember when he wrote his job application to Ludovico?
He shuffled priorities.
I don't think producer of pageants was on there. Maybe it should have been. Maybe that should have been at the top.
It would have been a lot easier.
Put on a show.
Right.
Now, as it turns out, Milan was crazy about the theatre, as you said, as was Florence. And LDV had been involved in some stage design stuff in Florence when he worked at Verrocchio's workshop.
Right.
But, these for the day, this was like going to see a Cirque du Soleil show in Vegas. Yeah. Like
top notch.
This is it, yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder what Leonardo would think of a Cirque du Soleil show. When I get a TARDIS, I'm going to go grab him, bring him in and give him some ideas, maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
He was all about the mechanical devices, whereas they're all about the amazing things they can do with their bodies. But as long as someone's getting blown behind the curtains, I think he's good either way. He's fine.
They also have amazing contraptions. We went to see, just before COVID, we went to see Curious... Cirque du Soleil show that was playing here, and they had a whole family of people sitting upside down on the roof eating dinner. The table and the chairs were stuck to the roof, and they were all sitting on chairs with teacups and everything, and they were drinking their tea, putting it back on the table. It's upside down. They're suspended upside down, and then a guy who's on the ground, he goes up into the air. I think it was on a trampoline. He bounces up and he takes a cup of tea from one of them and drinks it on the trampoline and jumps back. It's like 200 meters in the fucking air, like the top of the tent. He jumps back up, gives them back the teacup, because it is like fucking amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. We could do that.
But theater was more than just, dick sucking backstage. There was scientific demonstrations were done in the theatre there, debates. Displays of new inventions, debates about science and religion and philosophy. It was all sort of entertainment of the masses. We couldn't do Colosseum gladiator battles in the late 1400s. They had to mix it up a little bit. You know, they had to entertain bread and circuses for the people, like as I've said millions of times on our shows, like sport is today. Got to keep the people distracted so they don't realize how hard they're getting fucked up the ass by the psychopaths and the elite.
Don't turn around. Don't look behind you.
Yeah, you'll see a giant don't penis. Look behind you. Yes. Yeah.
But you were right. I mean, so you've got, it's not just peasantry. It's also education. It's also a spreading out of knowledge. And let me compare my ideas to yours. And so the better idea wins and society in general benefits from that. But it's also stuff like you've got to be very practical. So the Duke is not the official head, you know, he's got his younger nephew. And so, but you need things to entertain the court and you need to distract the people because let's face it, this is a dictatorship. He is all powerful and you don't want people to think about that too much. So you put on these pageants, these plays, and they're like, oh, we're having such a good time. You don't think about that. You have absolutely no fucking right unless he gives it to you and he could take it away the next second.
And he wasn't technically the Duke. He was regent to the Duke.
Self-styled.
The technical Duke was his young nephew, Gian Galeazzo Sforza.
I'm the Duke.
Right.
Who inherited the throne at age 7 when his father was killed.
Yes.
Always a really solid idea, putting a 7-year-old in charge of things, I found. Fox is 7. I can just imagine.
Where's his country? Yeah. Where's his kingdom? Yeah, come on, let's go.
This house. Yeah. This house is the beginning of it. He rules with an iron fist.
Your life isn't worth shit right now. You better watch your back, buddy. You better watch your back.
Oh, I'm definitely his slave. and he takes every opportunity to fuck with me. Yesterday, Chrissy was out middle of the day. She sends me a text message saying, hey, I'm coming home. You want to make out middle of the day? Boom, boom. I'm like, good one. Fuck yes. Yeah. I was going to go to the gym with Taylor. I'm like, fuck that. This will be my workout.
This is better.
She texts me 5 minutes later, goes, oh, shit, bad news. Just got a text from the school. Fox fell out of a hammock because that's the kind of school he goes to. He has a hammock that he can fall out of in the middle of the day. And has fell on it and hurt his shoulder. And he's in a lot of pain. And he wants me to pick him up. So he cock-blocked me. Right. Deliberately, mind you. He knew.
He jumped out.
Yeah. Threw himself out of a hammock just to stop me getting some pussy.
It's worth it. Ow. Yeah. Ow. Fuck. No pussy for dad. Anyway.
Anyway, Sforza, Ludovico used this not to just to distract people, but to legitimize his rule. So a lot of the productions that had been put on were about what a great guy he was and how great Milan was now that he was running it.
Exactly.
And lots of historical and religious imagery to justify his ongoing rule of the place.
Right. You want me here. Yeah.
But again, he was only the regent.
Right.
He's supposed to hand it over to his nephew. And all was going fabulously to plan. Until his nephew mysteriously died in 1494. Nobody could have seen that coming.
No.
And we'll get into the whys and wherefores in a second. But before he died, when he was 20, he got married to his cousin, as you do.
Oh, that's
bit of a Virginian thing going on there. Isabella of Aragon, Princess of Naples. This is around 1489, 1490.
Mm-hmm.
And Leonardo worked on this. He was like the wedding planner, the wedding designer of the whole fucking performance that went along with it.
Yeah, the centerpiece was for the wedding celebration was to be a performance and a feast. There was going to be sights and sounds and lights and a theatrical extravaganza, and I think you have to say it like that, called the Feast of Paradise, ending with the Mask of the Planets. So Leonardo goes all out for this. Part of it is based on Ludovico's favorite poet, Bernardo. Would you like to help me with the pronunciation of this?
Belincioni.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and actually, this very poet would write after this this presentation, he would write, "The scenery made with great brilliance and skill by Maestro Leonardo Vinci, the Florentine." So again, this poet saw his poem manifested by Leonardo. He was impressed. He loved it, and he wrote something down. So Leonardo must have pulled it off. And again, I'm sure he took it over the top.
He pulled it off, all right.
He pulled hard. Probably pulled it off.
Pulled Bernardo Belincioni off.
backstage.
Yeah, well, the thing that I want to point out here is Belinchoni refers to Da Vinci as maestro, master.
Maestro, oh.
Yeah, like he was Seinfeld. Already...
sir, could you call me maestro, please? I don't know who the fuck you are. Why should I call you maestro? I would just appreciate it if you'd call me maestro.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Sorry.
So it reminds me of Chrissy's father.
Right.
He's... He's got a doctorate in music, and apparently he used to make all of Chrissy's boyfriends before me refer to him as Dr. Yes. Dunaway.
Yes.
And he said it to me. I'd like it if you call me Dr. Dunaway. I'd say I'd like a lot of fucking things, but it's never going to happen. So
mostly your daughter, sir, but that's not going to happen. Yeah.
I'd like a fucking unicorn in my backyard, but you know, we don't get that everything we want.
But hey, that's life.
You're gonna have to get over your disappointment. Maestro. Wow. Maestro. So this is 1489, 1490. He gets to Milan around about 1481, 1480, somewhere around that. He's been there 8, 9, 10 years. Whew. We don't know what the fuck he did until he became a producer of pageants.
Yes.
And now he's being referred to as Maestro.
That's so impressive. Yeah.
Yeah, he's made a name for himself.
Splash.
As a producer of fabulous theatre. Like, it's... this, you know, they're doing a Leonardo da Vinci series at the moment that somehow we didn't get asked to be consultants on, which is fucking blows my mind.
Right.
But that's the series I want to see. It's just Leonardo da Vinci backstage sucking dick in drag, just gay, fabulous... Leonardo da Vinci. It's Hedwig and the Angry Inch meets Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, meets Fosse's thing? Cabaret.
Right.
Meets I don't know, Game of Thrones, some fucking combination of things.
Leonardo would be like, do you want the job or not? Do you want me to blow you? No, dumbass, this is a theater. I blow you. That's how you get the job. It's very complicated.
Let's just blow each other. Yeah, it's democratic. Now, what Leonardo did for this is he created panels that depicted inspiring moments from the reign of the Sforza family.
Nice.
That went all around the Sforza castle.
That's impressive.
And, you know, apparently Ludovico was right into this. Mm-hmm. Ludovico loved symbolism, loved his coat of arms. Have you had a look at the Sforza coat of arms, Ray?
No, let me whip this out.
There's a number of variations of it because, you know, it changed over the years. I'll send you the link to the one that I think was actually Ludovico's. Okay. I'll chuck it now. Chucking in our chat window here.
Chuck it in the window.
Chuck it in the chat. This one has a dragon wearing a crown swallowing a guy whole.
As you do, right?
As you do. Yeah, you've swallowed a few guys whole.
I should have my own coat of arms. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So, I think they actually inherited this from the Visconti family, who they married into and eventually took over. But if you have a look at the one I like the best, though, if you look at that link I just sent you, if you go up to that, the one on the top right, the House of Sforza Cesarini, it's got a lion. It's got three sections on it: a lion about to lick some sort of a pomegranate or a flower or something.
Right.
It's got your classic Romanesque or Gothic eagle.
Sure.
But then below that, it's got what looks like a bear chained to a column.
Right.
I don't know what the story to that is, but I would love to know the story behind that. I couldn't find really any background on any of these.
Bears. Like Or like this is the early pole dancing. I don't know. Probably.
Well, it's probably a reference to some family that they conquered and are keeping down.
Yes.
But yeah, we conquered the bear, man. We've got That's it right. chained up. We chained the bear. Anyway, getting back to the dragon blowing a guy. A lot of symbolism in that. We swallow guys whole here. Right. There's actually variations of that. You can see it on the... I saw photos of... I think at one of the old Svorza castles or Visconti castles, the family's castles in Italy. And it's in three different stages. You'll see one coat of arms where the guy is like, it's just his feet in the dragon's mouth. The next one, it's up to his waist. And the next one is just his head sticking out. It's like this progression of time. Yeah, we suck this guy down whole. Neil suck crack. That was their family motto.
In case there's any confusion, we can take him down whole. There was no chewing. We just took him in because we can. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, swallowed it whole. We swallow. That was their other motto. We swallow.
Anybody can suck or bite, we swallow.
Yeah,
go ahead.
We swallow. Do you remember what Sforza means? We did talk about it in an earlier episode.
No. What does it mean?
It's basically like the enforcer.
Right.
The strong, the forcer, the force, the muscle. Yeah, right. The muscle. Yeah. That's basically what I mean. It's a great family nickname or patronymic or whatever they were calling it in those days. Yeah, it was given to them by, you know, one of the kings when they were mercenaries.
Right.
And he was like, I call you my muscle. You are the muscle. And they were like, fuck yes, that's badass. We're making that our name.
From now on, you're Johnny Sforza. Thank you, sir.
Johnny Sforza. Johnny the Bull. The Bull Gravano. What was the Bull Gravano's name? The guy who ratted out the mafia? Jimmy Gravano?
Something like that.
I read his autobiography like twice. Sammy the Bull Gravano. He's still around too. He's 76, still alive. I read his autobiography, Underboss.
That's saying something. Yeah,
20 years ago. Really, really good book.
But I liked the part in the pageant where they were having these actors come out pretending to be ambassadors from Spain, Poland, and Hungary and other places. And they would come out and they would make a big deal out of her. But because of the definition that you read out a couple of minutes ago, there has to be a dance every time there's a new player out on the scene. So there's music, there's sound, there's dancing going around. And of course, some of that music and the sound and the feet shuffling was help covering the sound of the mechanical devices because Leonardo worked his ass off on them, but he can't really, it's not like WD-40 has been invented yet where you can all over the place. There's making some sound, but again, so he's thinking of everything, he's putting it together, and I'm sure it was a huge hit. The young bride was probably very happy with everything. She doesn't know how long her husband's got to live, but that's beside the point.
Yeah. Yeah, and some of the descriptions that have survived make it sound fabulous. It says, at midnight, after much dancing by the players and spectators, the music stopped and the curtain rose on a celestial curved vault that Leonardo had constructed in the shape of a half egg that was gilded with gold on the inside. Damn. Torches served as stars, and in the background, the signs of the zodiac were illuminated. Actors portrayed the seven known planets turning and revolving in the proper orbits.
Of course.
An angel appears and says, you will see great things in honor of Isabella and her virtues. And in his notebook, Leonardo recorded the expenses for the gold and the glue to affix the gold and 25 pounds of wax to make the stars.
How much?
And a little bit of wax left over to do his pubes. And he had someone do his back hair because he was all about... You know, you're just beautiful cleanliness, you know, no hair where you want to be. You want tongues to go. You don't have to be picking. You know, remember that Curb Your Enthusiasm episode where Larry gets a pube stuck in his throat? You see that? He's walking around coughing all the time. He went down on Cheryl and he's going,
hey. Casualty of war, my friend. No, you ended the last episode with saying that Leonardo made an entry into his journal about dyeing hair. It could have been about a play or it could have been about himself because he is in his 30s now and maybe he's seen some gray. But I would imagine that he would have been vain enough to keep some of the wax left over and use it down south as needed. Mm. Who knows? I'm not judging. Who doesn't?
You know what else you can make out of wax?
What do you want to make out of wax?
Anyway. It culminated, this performance culminated with the gods Jupiter and Apollo, followed by the graces and the virtues descending from pedestals to shower the new Duchess with praise. Now, sadly, Gian, her husband, died 4 years later at the Palazzo Ducale, the summer home of the Visconti and Sforza families. I looked it up. You can go there now. It's a museum. So I think where I saw a photo of the family coat of arms and that kind of stuff. That's going to be on our list of things to do when next time we go to Milan. But in those 4 years that they were married, they managed to push out four kids. So she wasn't fucking around. I think she knew that he only had... She knew... No, just fucking him. I think she knew he only had 4 years to live. So she was like, got to hit this, you know, let's go.
I know that she came from an important court and she was probably politically savvy. She probably took one look at the entire situation going, yeah, he's not going to be around much longer. I got to get as much D as I possibly can and some semen too. Mm. And it sounds like mission accomplished.
Yeah. Well, she was the granddaughter, I think, of Isabella of Spain. Yeah. Right.
The Isabella.
The 1490 sponsors of the 1492 Columbus expedition. I think I think she's a granddaughter. No, I think she's a granddaughter. I looked it up. It's fucking hard. There's so many Isabellas of Aragon to try and work out which one she is. It's a little bit complicated. Now, one of the kids that they had was a son who, you know, is going to inherit the throne if it goes that way.
Sure.
But obviously Ludovico decides, I don't like the way this is playing out, honestly. Like,
don't make me kill
him. Yeah. And Gian died at 24. Now, according to the Italian historian, Francesco Giucciardini, in his History of Italy, he says the rumor was widespread that Giovanni Galeazzo's death had been provoked by immoderate coitus.
That's how I want to go.
Well, you've just any coitus, you'd be happy to go. I did go on Facebook and I asked the Facebook doctors, the Facebook medical community, if that's a thing. Can you die from too much fucking? And apparently, apparently, according to our favorite Facebook doctor, Megan, who is actually a real doctor, Megan Ramsey, Mrs. Riley Alexander, as she's known, I think that's a professional name
in these parts.
She said, unless you get an infectious disease and die from that, it's not a thing. So that's good to know. I was asking on behalf of you, Ray, because I know
dodged a bullet there.
You have a lot of plans for a moderate coitus as soon as this podcast money really kicks in. Giucciardini goes on to say, nevertheless, it was widely believed throughout Italy that he had died not through natural illness, nor as a result of incontinence, but had been poisoned. One of the royal physicians asserted that he had seen manifest signs of it, nor was there anyone who doubted that it had been poisoned. It had been administered through his uncle Ludovico Sforza's machinations. Now, I gotta say, if you're one of the royal physicians going around shooting your mouth off that you think he had been poisoned,
not good.
Probably not the smartest career move.
on his way out the door, he said, "Oh, by the way, that's fucking poison. We're out."
Yeah,
and just left.
Right. Immoderate coitus.
But qui bono?
That's
qui bono. Who benefits?
From a moderate coitus? Well. No. In your case, nobody. Everyone loses.
It's a lose-lose, but
I'm okay. I am using that. That's my line to Chrissy now is, hey, you up for some immoderate coitus?
Want to help my heart?
I could die. Heart condition.
I might die tomorrow.
Doctor did say, though, I got to get my heart rate up, at least 30 minutes a day.
Yeah.
I was like, well, that'll take care of 1 minute of it, then. I only need to work out for 29 minutes. That's...
Thank you for your service.
Yeah. Anyway, all of this brought Leonardo way more fame than he ever had before. And he's got money. He's got fame. He's got dick to suck backstage.
Right.
He's been called Maestro. And he's very proud of all of this. He
should be.
He talks about it in his books. That year, same year. No, the following year, Ludovico married Isabella's cousin, Beatrice.
Oh, right. Sexy.
Got to keep it in the family. Required another pageant. Leonardo did that one. And he recorded in his notebook that he visited the site in order to help some of the footmen who were going to play the role of primitive savages try on the loincloths he had designed as their costume.
It's too big. Cut it down some. It's no, not you, sir, the loincloth. It's too...
Let me just...
let me get down here and...
Look, everyone stand back. I'm a professional...
Loincloth.
I designed these loincloths. I'm a maestro. The maestro's here. Everyone, can I clear the stage, please? Right. Clear the stage.
Yeah.
Okay, come forward, Mr. Harris. Present. Let me see. No, closer. Get it right in there. Like get it right up there.
Yeah.
Let me just check out. Oh yeah. No. Right. Well, see, I can see the problem here. Like. Yeah. I designed this loin. You told me you had a 7-inch penis.
Right.
And it's actually 7 centimeters. Yeah. I see the problem
I'm new to
here.
Your
lands.
Right.
Yeah, so. This loincloth goes down to your knees, basically. You're very short. But from that photo that you posted on Facebook, you looked a lot taller than that. It was just a headshot, but you looked a lot taller. Yeah, I just. let me adjust that for you.
Right.
I love that. He had to. Yeah, you've got a loincloth there, I believe. Did you bring one for show and tell today?
Right. I can't.
Show it to us. Show it to the audience. Show it to everyone on camera.
Okay. I don't know if you can see that. How?
Can you zoom in? Or you need to. Your camera got
see,
a
that's
zoom
just hurtful. That's unnecessarily hurtful.
Jumping up.
Leonardo was quality control. Who was the gentleman that we interviewed? He said he was a perfectionist.
This is just another example of Leo
being a perfectionist. A loincloth.
Oh, listen.
Perfectionist.
Yeah. Look, I measure. I have to measure each of you, and you may not know this. This may sound strange to the untrained ear, but the best way to measure the length of a penis is with the mouth. It's very well known it's an engineering thing. Look, look, I studied.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for 20, well, not sucking dick, but for 20 years. But
it's not sucking, it's measuring. It's theater
It's
work.
Measuring, yeah.
I've been in the theater for decades. Are you, you're new?
Yeah,
fuck, you know what you're talking about.
This is how we do it in Florence. This is what we learn at Verrocchio Studio. This is the way all the greats measure dick. Is you get it in your mouth. If it hits the back, if it hits my tonsils, I know it's too big.
And I'll need to see
to stop
later.
Around the epiglottis area. Right.
Yeah. Now, second thing most of you actors don't know is that sometimes on stage you can get carried away, you get excited, and you get hard. And that's nothing to be ashamed of. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to ask each and every one of you
podcast.
To get...
Like on this podcast. It happens on this show all the time. We understand this really well. Get excited.
Hard right now. Yeah, I need you to get hard now to make sure the loincloth still works. Do you need a hand? Fine. Cheryl, give me a bench. Give me a stool. I'm going to... And some Bengay. I'm going to be here for a while because there's like 20 of them. Oh, my God. Who wrote this play? Oh, fuck, that was me. Anyway, so quality control, people.
Now, Leonardo loved allegories.
Yes.
I was going to say allegories, but that's not right. Allegories. He loved allegories. He loved myth. He loved stories within stories. He loved parables. He's a bit like Jesus. He loved talking a lot without really saying much.
Yes.
And images. So, you know, it was like a David Lynch film afterwards.
Right.
People would go, well, that was a great fucking play, Leonardo, but what the hell did it mean? He goes, hey, did my David Lynch impersonation, It means whatever you think it means.
That's right. It's exactly right. Whatever you take away from it.
I like it to be in your imagination. Whatever you want it to mean, that's what it means.
You're welcome. Yes.
Ludovico's secretary wrote something down about one of Leonardo's plays. He says, first, a wonderful steed appeared.
Right.
I think this is the marriage to Isabella's cousin, right. Beatrice, that Ludovico did. A wonderful steed appeared, all covered with gold scales, which the artist had coloured like peacock eyes.
Oh.
Hanging from the warrior's golden helmet was a winged serpent whose tail touched the horse's back.
Showy. Right.
In his notebook, Leonardo wrote, above the helmet, place a half globe, right. which is to signify our hemisphere. Every ornament belonging to the horse should be of peacock feathers on a gold background to signify the beauty which comes of the grace bestowed on him who is a good servant.
That's good PR. That's fucking good PR. You don't need Stan and Barry. Yeah, when you got Leo.
Well, Stan and Barry were working with him on this. Obviously, Barry, Stan, and Leonardo was the original signage on the agency. Well, no, the original goes way back, but this was the current.
Right.
Yeah, they did a merger. They merged their firms with Leonardo at one point. Gotcha. BSNL, it was too long, so they changed it to just BSNL, or BSL, Bizzle, BSL. So they changed it to
Bizzle Inc.
I think it's still around today. I think if you walk through Manhattan, you'll still find the BSL office somewhere.
One of the big buildings.
There's no signage though now. It's like, you know, you either know or you don't. Yeah,
exactly.
It's like a trendy nightclub. There's a secret knock. You get in. Right. You know, there's like three or four doors. Secret questions that you get asked. You have to stick your dick through a glory hole. Somebody has to measure it with their mouth. Then, in 1496, he staged one of the most extravagant plays ever seen in Milan. It was a five-act comedy titled La Danae, written by Ludovico's chancellor and court poet.
Right.
You don't get those two things. Imagine if Leo McGarry on West Wing was both chief of staff and the poet laureate of the United States, and all of the orders that he gave to the inner circle, Josh, Toby, Sam, CJ, was all in rhyme.
Yeah.
It was a bit like Hamilton, really. It'd be like Hamilton.
And you could rap say it, sing it, whatever. Yeah. It's all good. It's all good, son.
Leo McGarry, I'm not giving away this appointment in the president's diary. I need ointment for my dick. Got slammed in a glory hole by Cam. This guy's name was Baldassare Tacconi. Now, Ray, no one knows more about Greek and Roman mythology than you. Yeah. Who was Danae?
You know, you're not always right. I don't know if anybody's ever told you that. I know about a Danae. I don't know if I know about the Danae. Was this the daughter of the king, Chryseis of Argos? Or is that a different one?
Yeah, by the way, I am always right. People try and tell me I'm not always right all the time.
You made me spit at my...
They're always wrong.
Right, because you're always right.
I pretty much am always right. Pretty much. I mean, I think I was wrong once. I thought doing a podcast with you would be a great idea and extremely profitable.
And you've been paying the price ever since. That's a steep learning curve.
I thought to myself, this would be great. He'll do all the work. I'll just sit back and coast. Yeah.
Yes.
I said to Tony on our investing show on Monday, I've learned a lot, but you're always going to know more than me. And it's really refreshing to be doing a podcast with someone who knows more than me. Like,
you're welcome.
That,
right.
That hasn't happened for a long time.
Yeah. How is it not an ego boost every time we talk? Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's just sad. I mean, it's not, there's no ego. I just work hard. There's no ego involved in working hard.
Oh.
There's nothing to be proud of. Okay, that's just hard, work. You know, you just work. Do the work.
Write that down. Hard.
I'm not smart. Not I don't, smart. You know, I just read 50 fucking books a week and have no life.
Is there any pictures in those books? Oh, sorry. Go.
Yes, you got it right, though. Daughter of my... What else is she known for, though? What's she really known as, this Danae?
Was she someone's mama? Perseus's mama?
Wow, the quick Wikipedia-ing is really impressive.
Thank you.
She's the mother of Perseus by Zeus. Now,
He slipped his, in. Sorry,
yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, now here's the story for folks at home who don't have Wikipedia open in front of them. King Acrisius asked the Oracle of Delphi if he would have a male heir, because he didn't have one. He wanted a male heir.
Yeah.
The Oracle told him that he would never have a son, but his daughter would.
Right.
But
that
he would then be killed by his daughter's son.
I don't want to hear that.
Now, he only had one daughter, Danae, and at the time she had no children. Yeah. Oh. So he decided better stop her from having any.
Right.
What's her face? Agrippina was told that her son would be emperor and would kill her, and she was like, fucking, as long as he's emperor, that's all that matters, right? Bring it on.
Solid.
But this guy was already king, I guess. He was like, well, fuck that bullshit.
Yeah.
So he locked her away in a bronze chamber to be constructed underneath his palace.
Damn, Dad?
And she basically was locked away there for the rest of her life. That was it. She was done. But then Zeus, the king of the gods, took a fancy to her. I don't know where he saw a photo. I don't know if they have like Tinder in Mount Olympus or what it was, but if she prayed and he got, you know, he used his ability to see all things to check her out, and he was like, hell's I'm hitting that.
That's hella hot.
So
right.
He appeared to her in the form of golden rain, which streamed in through the roof of her chamber.
He
and
pulled a
went down Mary. Into her womb.
Oh, he did? All right.
Yeah. Because there's nothing sexier, Ray. I don't know if you know this about women, but for women, this has been proven many times by many independent studies. There's nothing sexier than being raped by golden rain. That's the number one thing on women's list of hot, sexy things is...
Did not know that.
Being raped by golden rain. So remember that the next time you're feeling a little bit rapey.
The closest I've ever come to that is a golden shower. I think that's different.
maybe that's what is really going on here in this story.
Right?
Is... She was telling somebody afterwards.
Right.
Yeah, well, it was really fucking hot, you know. There was even a golden shower.
That's right.
And the person writing the story down was like, really? No, that's golden shower, okay. And they just wrote down it was like golden rain, and that's how, Well, they didn't know what that was.
Right.
They weren't down with the... urination sex thing, and they just wrote it down, and that's where it came from.
And she ended
now
up
unwilling
pregnant.
Yes. Yeah, well, I don't know which came first. Did he impregnate her and then golden showered on her, or vice versa? I don't know how it works. So it's not my thing, to be honest, but it's okay. I'm not judging.
No,
there's no judgment
I'm
on
happy
this podcast.
For everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, if it's consensual,
boom.
Not sure this was, but look, she's locked in a tomb.
Sure. I got nothing else to do.
She's been locked in a tomb for God knows how long.
Like years.
God appears to her and says, hey, you know, you want to hit it? Can I hit it?
Yeah.
She goes, yes, she can. Can I hit it? Yes, she can. Can I
hit
it?
I got nothing else going on. So go
ahead. Yeah. Unwilling to provoke the wrath of the gods or the Furies by killing his offspring and grandchild, King Acrisius cast Danae and Perseus into the sea in a wooden chest.
Sure, in a chest.
The sea was calmed by Poseidon, and at the request of Zeus, the pair survived. They were washed ashore on the island of Seriphos, where they were taken in by Dictys, the brother of King Polydectes,
right,
who raised Perseus to manhood. The king was charmed by Danae, but she had no interest in him. Consequently, he agreed not to marry her, only if her son would bring him the head of the Gorgon Medusa.
Oh.
Now, I don't know. Hold on. There's right. Like, so much stuff. Like, okay. So
it.
Zeus knocked her up.
Right.
Then instead of, like, making a queen of the world and making her son, like... the savior.
Right.
Well, I thought that was the deal. Right. If a god rapes a human woman.
Right.
And she has a half man, half god kid, doesn't he become the eternal savior? Isn't that the contractual understanding that you have?
I think that would be standard. I think that would be standardized.
Baryan standard.
Yes. yes.
Apparently, but he didn't even, like, he's not even looking after here. This king, Polydectes,
right,
is even, like, going, well, look, I know you're not into it with me, but you won't even measure the size of my penis with your mouth, but I'm going to marry you anyway, because I don't give a fuck, quite frankly.
I'm a kid.
You got a kid, normally that would, you know, been raped by a god, normally that would not...
Because I don't want to compare.
That would fly here.
Right.
No, and I don't like Zeus's sloppy seconds, to be honest, but... Me, Joseph, we're not into God's sloppy seconds,
right,
so it's not a thing. But, you know.
But you do me this solid.
I guess, yeah, I would marry you anyway. Anyway, using Athena's shield,
right,
Hermes' winged sandals, and Hades' helmet of his invisibility.
Sure, sure, standard.
Sounds like a Harry Potter episode. Perseus was able to evade Medusa's gaze and chop her head off. Later, after Perseus brought back Medusa's head and rescued Andromeda, the oracle's prophecy came true.
Oh, shit.
He started for Argos, but learning of the prophecy, instead went to Larissa, where athletic games were being held. By chance, an aging Acrisius was there, and Perseus accidentally struck him on the head with his javelin.
Sure.
Or discus, depending on the version of the story, fulfilling the prophecy.
Okay,
so let's unpick this.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
He got Athena's shield, Hermes' wing sandals, and Hades' helmet of his invisibility. Like, even I could kill.
I could do anything.
Medusa with all of that. Like, that's not really any
not a
big feat.
I'm not impressed.
It's like having, you have the Batmobile, Wonder Woman's magic lasso,
right,
Green Lantern's ring, Thor's fucking hammer,
right,
Iron Man's suit of armor.
And your job is
it's
to walk someone across the street. Yeah, I got
yeah,
this.
It's not really. Yeah. It's not really nothing to be proud of, quite honestly.
Still, he did it. He did it. Good for him.
Yeah, but he, he shouldn't have taken credit for that. I think that's kind of a dick move. I would have gone, look, everyone, calm the fuck down.
That's right.
Like, yes, I cut the head off the Medusa, but honestly, I had a lot of help. I mean, it would have been impossible not to do it with all of the cool toys. That I had at my disposal.
If I started thinking all the props that I had that I used, we'd be here all day. Just suffice it to say, thank me about 10%. Let's go home.
Mind you, if he had all that shit, why didn't he go kill King Polydectes and go, fuck you for threatening to marry my mother. No means no. Hashtag me too. she was already been raped once by a god, nonetheless.
So I'm gonna whoop some ass.
Like, she's got trauma, PTSD from that. Fucking dick move to, like, put her in this situation.
That's what wine's
fuck
for.
Fuck Medusa, I'm gonna kick.
Right. Yeah, Medusa didn't do fuck all to me, weed. You son of a bitch. I'm gonna come back and kick your ass.
Yeah. He should have killed him. But then.
Right.
He learns of the prophecy.
Yes.
And goes and basically hunts his father, his old,
pretty much,
grandfather down.
Right.
And accidentally strikes him in the head.
Right.
With a javelin.
Well,
I mean, how do you accidentally? No, it was accidental.
The king's over there. I threw the javelin in the exact opposite direction, but the prophecy made the javelin or discus, whatever, turn. I didn't do it. The prophecy did it.
The prophecy did it.
Like when Medusa was killed. I was there, but don't give me credit or blame. It wasn't really my thing. I just happened to be on the spot. So again, so the prophecy does come true because they have to come true once a god says they're going to come true. That's standard.
By the way, the oldest version of this myth that we have is written by Gaius Julius Hyginus around 15 CE.
Right.
He was a freedman of Augustus and was elected superintendent of the Palatine Library by Augustus. He wrote this down. There are other versions that haven't survived that may have been earlier, may have been later than this, but, you know, very handy that this was going around Rome in the Empire.
Right.
Somebody was like, God's impregnating women. Right. Yeah, we can work with that.
Barry and Stan were like,
it's good. It's we can work with that.
Yeah.
The golden rain bit, golden shower, not big into that, but maybe we'll just,
we'll take the other one.
We'll massage it a little bit.
Right.
We'll get some notes. We'll come back with some notes on it.
Right. Yeah.
Speaking of notes, Leonardo's notes included a list of actors and their scenes, drawings of stage sets, mechanical diagrams for the machinery to use for changing scenery and creating special effects.
Nice.
His floor plan shows an elevation drawing or two elevation drawings done in perspective. Right. One, which I saw, which is a scene that depicts a god sitting in a flaming niche.
Wow.
It's a god with fire all around him. Right. No doubt, that was real fire that they would have had.
Yeah.
Some sort of special effect. It was full of special effects. Leonardo had Mercury descending from above using an intricate system of ropes and pulleys.
Wow.
Jupiter was transformed into a rain of gold dust to impregnate Danae. Jupiter and Zeus, obviously the same person.
Right.
And at one point, the sky was lit by an infinite number of lamps like stars.
Right.
Just imagine how he got Jupiter to turn into a golden shower.
I need you to pull down your pants, and on cue, I need you to pee, and everybody will be mesmerized by the pee, and then you step back into the curtains. I don't know. Yeah. Low tech.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Low tech.
But still.
Maybe it was, he just had like a contraption that he built that was like, what are you looking behind yourself for? Have you got ghosts? What's going on?
Keep hearing a noise.
Rats? Yeah. Snake? Birds?
The rats and the snakes are fighting each other. I don't want to get involved. It's not my war. Anyway.
Maybe it was like a spray end that he put on the end of like Jupiter's dick, and when he peed in it, like he just pushed this big shower head all over Danae.
Figured that out, it would have been Leo.
I just got to keep going here before we wrap up. His most complex mechanical design had revolving stages for something called Pluto's Paradise. Like revolving stages. Like I was impressed when we went to see Hamilton. Actually, we didn't even go to see it. We saw it on video.
Right.
Of the revolving stages they have in the set machinery. Leonardo was doing this 500 years ago. Revolving stages.
Yeah. No limits.
Imagine levels, Jerry, levels. Like, just imagine what people must have thought.
Right.
In
as it's
1490.
Starting. Yes.
1491. Yeah, they're seeing revolving stages.
Right.
He had a mountain that opened up in halves.
Right.
And inside was Hades, the underworld. He wrote in his notebooks, when Pluto's paradise is open, there will be devils who are playing on 12 pots like openings into hell, creating infernal noises. Here will be death, the furies, ashes, and many naked children weeping, living fires made of various colors. Now, you know he was all about the naked children. Funny thing, like every pageant he did, he managed to shoehorn naked children into it. Yeah. Even if it was about something boring. Like he did a pageant once about doing your taxes, had naked children in it.
Yes.
They
bring in the pens.
He did,
the stylus.
Yeah. He did a play once about trigonometry. naked children. He managed to find a way to get naked, like naked children.
Justified it.
He loved nothing. He loved nothing more than just getting naked children into pageants.
Except for loincloth models. But I take your point.
Measuring 50-50. Dick sizes. Yeah.
But imagine, it's 1490 and this thing moves and then it splits open. I mean, that's like the Orson Welles radio program that freaked out the world. I mean, I imagine these people were like, oh my God. And of course, Ludovico is like, yes, you've amazed everybody. That's exactly what I wanted. I can't remember if this is his wedding or something after that, but he got his money's worth when Leonardo was finished with this.
Naked Children.
Naked Children.